Welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, hopefully you've made yourself right at home. My name is Chris High, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and today is Forgiveness Part 2. If you weren't able to be with us last week, we kicked off this conversation about how we begin to apply this idea of forgiveness. And we looked at this mission that God's given us and this purpose for which we've been created. And the reality is, if we're going to live out that mission, if we're going to experience that purpose, then we have got to become experts at this idea of forgiveness. And for some of us, we know exactly where we want to go. We know exactly what we're striving for in this life that God is leading us into. But there are these weights that are still on board with us. There are these weights that are holding us back. There are these weights that are keeping us from getting there, that are keeping us from experiencing that. And it's things that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago that are still impacting, that are still influencing the decisions that we're making today. It's still impacting the direction in which we're headed. It's still impacting how we're able to trust and relate to the people around us. And so we're looking at this idea of forgiveness, and how do we begin to get rid of those weights? How do we begin to move past these things that happened in our past? And how do we experience what God has in store for us? And so last week we kicked this off and we talked about this first step in the process of forgiveness, and this idea that forgiveness is not about just simply changing the way I feel about what happened, but that forgiveness is actually beginning to deal with what happened. And so I don't just look at what happened and belittle what happened and say, well, it's not that big a deal, or I just need to get over it. But I actually look at it, and in God's eyes, if we're gonna carry out biblical forgiveness, I look at it and I understand that it is a big deal. And we looked at how the Bible, when it talks about forgiveness, it talks about this idea of debt, that I'm actually owed something for what happened, that when God looks at what happened to me, it was a very, very big deal. Because he understands that it can change the rest of your life. And so we looked at the first step in this process of forgiveness, and it's not belittling, but understanding it is a big deal, but rather than me trying to somehow make that person pay for what they've done to me, I hand that over to God, and I trust him to be the one who settles my accounts. I trust him to be the one to make sure that that's paid for. And so I introduce you to this passage in Romans chapter 12. It starts off in verse 19. It says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord." And we talked about what it means to look at what happened and begin to give that to him. What it means to trust God that he actually cares about you. To trust God that he actually is your protector. And that if you'll give that to him, he says, he promises you that it will be paid for. And for some of us, we look at what's happened in our lives and we look at those who've hurt us. And sometimes this can be one of these things that just makes us extremely angry with God. Because the truth is, I believe we crave justice in our society. I believe you crave justice. And so when we see things happen in our culture where justice isn't happening, it makes us angry. In our own lives, when we see these situations where we don't feel like justice is happening, it makes us angry. And so we look at these hurts and we look at what happened and we're like, God, I don't understand. I'm still living with this, but they seem like life is great. I don't understand you. But what God is saying and what God is telling us in Romans 12 and what God is inviting us to embrace is this understanding that while it may look like justice isn't being served, whether it be in their life or in my life, because this is true of me as well when I hurt someone, it may look like I'm getting away with it. God says, no, 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 no. Justice will be served. And with what happened, it will be paid for. And so we looked at this process of forgiveness and how it doesn't begin with belittling what happened. It begins with understanding that God is just as upset, if not more upset, about what happened than you are. But rather than me trying to get that person to pay for it, I allow God to be the one who settles my accounts. I hand that to him. And it's no longer between me and you. It's now between you and him. We were talking about this inside of our dinner group, and we were talking about what that looks like. And for me, the thing that immediately came to mind had to do with Blockbuster. How many of you have ever taken a movie back late? Show of hands. The rest of you are lying. You are looking at probably the worst person at returning movies. I don't know what it is. I have a mental block when it comes to returning movies. There's like a 50% chance that it makes it to my car, and maybe a 10% chance that it makes it from my car to the actual movie store. My entire DVD collection is made up of just Blockbuster cases, one after another after another. I have to pull them out to look at the title to find out what movie I actually have. I usually would pay $2 to rent it and $19 a month later to buy it. And as we were thinking about this, the thing that came to my mind is the letters that I would receive usually about a month after I rented whatever video I rented. And it usually came from Associates or something. The name of the company was like Associates something. I know the name because I can picture the letter in my head. I got so many of them. And they'd send me this letter, and the letter was literally saying to me, listen, you used to owe Blockbuster, but now you don't. Now you owe us. Because we're the one who settles their accounts. And in your life, what God is saying is, he says, I want to be, and if you'll trust me, I will be the one who settles your accounts. And you can be free of these things that keep holding you back. And you can begin to live your life with peace. And you can get rid of that bitterness. And you can get rid of that grudge. Not by simply changing the way that you feel about it, by trusting me that I'm going to settle your accounts. And this is crucial, because if we're going to continue this process of forgiveness, which is what we're going to talk about today, you have to take that step first. Because what we're going to talk about today is how I now interact with this person who's harmed me. But if you don't give this to God first, it's going to be almost impossible for you to interact with that person in any other way than somehow getting them to pay for what they've done. And as you look at this passage in Romans chapter 12, you see that after he says, I'm going to be the one who settles your account, he tells you what your relationship with this person can begin to look like. So he says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Now, if that's going to happen, if you're going to be able to live out the rest of that passage, if you're going to be able to not just be a hearer of God's word, but a doer of God's word, then you have got to walk through that first step of saying, okay, God, you're going to be the one who settles my accounts, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to walk into the life of the person who hurt me with the purpose of doing good. It's the only way I'm going to be able to walk into the life of the person who hurt me and love them. You see, if the foundation isn't the idea that, okay, this is between you and God now, not between me and you, you'll never be able to love your enemy. And you'll never find out what it means to overcome evil with good. It begins with this trust of God that he is who he says he is. But that's just the beginning. Because like we said last week, forgiveness is not about avoiding conflict. Forgiveness is not just, hey, I'm going to push this over here and it's going to be okay between us now. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not about avoiding conflict. It's about resolving conflict. And if you're going to continue this process of resolving conflict, you have to allow God to settle your debts. And then you can begin this process of restoration. And if you're a part of Hoboken Grace for an extended period of time, you're going to hear us talk about restoration over and over and over again, because we believe that the heart of God is a heart of restoration. We believe that you were created to be intimately connected in perfect love with God. We believe that you were created to be intimately connected in perfect love with the people around you. And we believe that as you pick up God's word, you see this story of this family that was created, but then all of a sudden there's all this division and it's split up and sin comes into the picture and all of a sudden we begin to destroy one another. But rather than God leaving us, he comes to restore, to bring you back to that. And when it comes to your connection with those around you, when it comes to you and the relationships that you have with the people around you, forgiveness is the process of restoration inside of broken relationships. And so it begins by saying, okay, God, you're going to settle my accounts. It continues when we go to the one who wronged us, when we go to the one who hurt us. And if you were here at the second service last week, we really didn't talk about this. If you were at the first service last week, we mentioned this a little bit, and I told you that we were going to talk about it more this week. And last week we looked at these passages in Matthew chapter 18 where Jesus says, listen, you should forgive. And we talked about how it's different than what we thought. But then we also looked at what comes after that where he says forgiveness is about a debt and he begins to explain it to us through a story. But what we need to understand is that in order for us to understand what he's saying when he says you need to forgive, we also need to look at what comes before it. And what comes before it in that passage is what we find in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, where it says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. It's crucial that you understand and that you hear the last line of that verse, because you need to understand that when you're going to this person who's wronged you, the point is not that you will somehow get them to pay for what they've done. That's not on the that's not in the conversation anymore. What's in the conversation now is, okay, how do we restore this relationship? How do I bring this person back? How do we bring one another back into unity? And I want to say, as we begin this, kind of give my first of the disclaimers today. And my first disclaimer today is this. Now, this is not something that you're going to have to do every time something happens to you. And for some people, we walked out of last week, and some people hear me say this, listen, you need to go to the person, and you're saying, man, am I going to have to go to someone every single time that they do something that hurts me, or every single time that my feelings are hurt? There's actually a principle in 1 Peter 4:8 that I want to share with you as we walk through this, because it's crucial for you to understand when and where this conversation takes place. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. It says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Peter says, listen, in your life, there are going to be some things that are going to happen, and there are going to be some things that you're going to see happen, and you understand that, okay, yeah, that may have hurt me, that may have hurt my feelings, but you know what? The relationship is such that I'm able to move past it. This isn't something that I'm going to hold on to. This isn't something that's going to develop into bitterness. This isn't something that I'm going to be thinking about next week. And so you're in a conversation and someone says something about cats, but you're a really big cat fan, and so your feelings are hurt. It's your own fault, but your feelings are hurt. See, now some of you afterwards are going to have to come talk to me. That's one of those situations where maybe love covers a multitude of sins. And you realize, okay, I didn't necessarily appreciate that comment, but I'm able to move past it. This isn't going to develop into one of those weights. And there are certain things in your life where you're just going to live under this 1 Peter principle, and you're going to say, hey, listen, you know, that I was a little offended here, but I love that person, and it's okay. But then there are other things in your life where you know, every time you interact with that individual, there's going to be something there. And that may actually be something that to other people would seem insignificant, but to you it's extremely significant. And in your life, God is telling you, if you want to continue this process of forgiveness, you need to go talk to that person. Because if this relationship is going to be restored, then you need to not avoid conflict, but to work through conflict. And so for some of you, as we walked through this last week, my challenge to you was to begin this process of giving these things to God. And for a lot of you, as you walked through this last week, you spent time on your knees, you spent time in prayer, and you began to work through this process. You began to say, okay, God, I'm going to give this to you. It's no longer going to be between me and him. It's going to be between him and you. I'm trusting you with this. That's the beginning. And I think for a lot of us, as we go into this next week, we need to begin to take very seriously this next step, which is that you need to go talk to that person. And you need to talk to them about what happened. And you need to begin to restore this relationship. And what I want to do today is I want to give you a tool to have that conversation. It's a tool that was given to me a couple years ago, a tool that I believe will really help you in this process. Now, here's disclaimer number two. For some of you, this is a conversation that should not happen. And I want to say that because for some of you, you were in relationships where you were abused. Maybe it was physically, maybe it was verbally. I don't know what it may be, but there is a person in your life who is extremely abusive. And you know that for some people, it's actually dangerous if that person were to even know that you were alive or to know where you live. And so this is not a step that you should take. And there are certain situations where you need to just live under Romans 12, where you're saying, okay, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to release it. I'm going to begin this process of forgiveness. I'm giving this to you, God, but the conversation should not happen. Because it puts you in danger. It may put your family in danger. The reality of the time in which we live is that is true for some of you. And so I think the worst thing that could happen as we come out of here today is for someone to walk out of here saying, man, I know it's dangerous, but I'm going to have this conversation. No, I want to make sure you know that's not what I'm talking about today. But for most of us, there are conversations that we know it's not a dangerous situation, and we need to address what happened. So how do I do that? This is a tool that was given to me several years ago. Inside your program, there's a notes card there. I encourage you to take that out. You can kind of jot down what we're talking through here. If you've been inside of our marriage seminar, you've heard me talk about this. And if you've been through marriage counseling with me, you've heard me talk about this. I share this with couples all the time because it's a great way to be able to address things that are happening inside of a relationship or inside of any kind of connection that I have with the people around me in such a way that I'm able to address what happened without it becoming extremely complicated. And so OIC stands for this. It stands for observation, interpretation, and clarification. Now, before you even begin to have this conversation, one of the things that you need to process or that you need to work through in this situation with this individual is what happened. So you need to figure out, okay, what happened that actually hurt me? Was it, you know, that I just kind of have a weird feeling about this person? Or is there something that actually took place? What was the action that was wrong? The thing that you need to figure out is, okay, is this something that is actually a sin? Or is this just something that hurt my feelings? Saying bad things about cats is not a sin. I know that's a shock to some of you. It's not. But it may be something that hurt your feelings. And so you need to, before you even begin the observation part of this conversation, you need to address, okay, is this a sin or is this just something that hurt my feelings? There's a big difference there. And it's important that as you have this conversation with the person who hurt you, that you're very clear about that. Because the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to share your observation. And when you share your observation, you step into this conversation and you say to this individual, listen, this is what I saw happen. And I'm going to use a ridiculous illustration for this just because it's funny. And sometimes when we talk about these things, people get a little too serious. So for the sake of illustration, the conversation begins. And so I walk into the conversation and I say to you, I noticed that you bought the same dress knowing that I have already purchased that dress. I grew up with three sisters. I understand the severity of this situation. And so I noticed that knowing that I have that dress, you purchased that dress. I observe. From there, then, we move to interpretation. And when you get to interpretation, one of the things that's really important is that you don't judge the person's heart. That you don't judge the person's motivation. And one of the things that can get us into a lot of trouble when we have these conversations is that we assume certain things. And you guys have all heard what it means when you assume something, right? Or what happens when you assume something. I can't share it here because they wouldn't put it on the podcast. But we assume certain things of the situation. But rather than assuming that we know what the person was thinking, or rather than assuming that we know exactly how things played out, inside of this idea of interpretation, you need to take an attitude of humility. And that means that you need to share several different possible explanations of what happened. And so I observe that you purchased this dress knowing that I have it. Now, maybe, and I begin to share my interpretation, now maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you didn't realize that I have that dress. Maybe it was given to you. Maybe it was the last dress available on the face of the planet. Maybe you don't care about me. Right? We give multiple explanations. The last one's obviously a joke. But we give multiple possible interpretations of the situation. And this is one of the steps in this conversation that's crucial, because this begins to break down walls. I'm not walking in saying, this is my observation, and I know exactly what happened, and I know exactly how it played out, I know exactly what you were thinking, and I know exactly what the motivations were behind you doing this. That's not an attitude of humility. And so we walk in with an attitude of humility into this conversation, and we say, listen, I don't necessarily know what happened, but these are... And then we get to three, then we get to C, which is the clarification. And so I share my observation and the multiple interpretations, and then I ask you, well, what happened? So how did you end up with that dress? And we kind of open the door for them to begin to process with us, or to work through this conversation with us, so that we can begin this process of restoration. And obviously that's a really funny example. But this is a conversation that should be happening all the time inside of our church family. And there are situations where over and over and over again, this conversation should be playing out. And our church is really young, and so there's one conversation that I know is going to happen a lot. And it's really a conversation that should happen a lot. And I think we'll get better at how we walk through this, but the truth is, as we continue to grow and as there's more and more people who are part of this family, there are going to be a lot of situations where people don't know people. And so one of the conversations that we've had here at Hoboken Grace, or that people have had to have here at Hoboken Grace, is, hey, listen, you're dating that person that I used to date. Nervous laughter. And that really hurts me. Or it really hurt me that you didn't come talk to me first. And maybe you didn't know that I used to date them. Maybe you don't know the past. Or maybe you thought that I wouldn't want to have this conversation with you. Or maybe you thought that I wouldn't care, and that had been, you know, quite a bit of time, and so I'm just moving past it. But it did hurt me. And I'm wondering what happened. I'm wondering why we didn't talk. And you begin this process of restoration. And in that conversation, you walk through observation, interpretation, and clarification. Why? Because we want to restore the relationship. And so before we go into it, we walk into that relationship loving that person, caring about that person, because we've already given it to God. Because the truth is, you and I both know that the conversation, this whole process begins with, God, that person is dating my ex, and you are going to make them pay for it. But we move into one another's lives with love and humility and gentleness. And we walk through this conversation. Now, it's crucial for you to understand that as he's leading us through this in Matthew chapter 18, he doesn't say to you that you need to go and address it and walk through this with them and say, listen, I understand that this is happening and you bought that dress, but I just forgive you. And a lot of times that's the way these conversations work especially inside of church families, because we've almost been taught this idea that we should forgive them before we have the conversation, that this thing should be over before we have the conversation. No, we release it before we have the conversation. But in the conversation, we do not walk into it and say, hey, listen, this is what happened and I forgive you. We say, this is what happened, or this is what I observed. What happened? Because biblically, the next step is the other person's opportunity to say, yes, listen, what I did was wrong. Or yes, listen, I understand it wasn't wrong, but I don't want to hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't intend to hurt you. And biblically, how this plays out from here is a little bit different depending on who you're talking to. Because if you're talking to someone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ, and you walk into it and you say, listen, what you did here was wrong. I mean, I heard you talking in our conversation last week, and you were talking about this person behind their back, and that's just not right. And I don't know if it just slipped out and you weren't thinking about what you were saying. I don't know. But what happened was wrong. And biblically, when you begin that conversation, it's not, hey, what happened was wrong, I forgive you. It's what happened was wrong, what happened? What were you thinking? And then the Bible says if they confess, hey, listen, you're right. What I did was wrong. And I'm sorry. Then the Bible says that we forgive. And forgive is literally meaning that, okay, I'm going to pay for it myself. I'm not going to ask you to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it myself. And we're clear. And we're okay. Now, the interesting thing about that is that this is a step of faith, not a step of feeling. In other words, when you say, hey, listen, yes, I forgive you, it doesn't mean that I feel great about you. And sometimes I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to forgive because I don't feel great about that person. That's not what it means. Forgiveness is like taking a step of faith. And faith is when I act on what is true, not on what I feel. And so in this situation, I say, I forgive you. In other words, I'm going to act like I'm going to act on the fact that there's nothing between us. I may still be working through these feelings with God. I may still be working through this process of healing with God. But with me and you, I'm going to act on the fact that the debt has been settled and that we're okay. And I'm going to act in love towards you. I'm going to act in forgiveness. And the Bible says that if they confess that just as God has forgiven us, then we forgive them. But if they don't, it doesn't say, well, then you just forgive. That's not what it says. If they're not a follower of Jesus Christ, then you go back to Romans chapter 12 and you say, so you're having a conversation with someone at work. Now, I will say this. If you're having a conversation with someone at work, if you're having a conversation with someone who's not a follower of Jesus Christ, don't bring the Bible into it. Right? We talked about earlier deciding whether it's a sin or not and bringing that into the conversation. Don't do that if you're at work. It's not going to be good if you walk into your cubicle next to you and be like, hey, listen, you said this last week, and you know, Luke 14:2 says that you need to... No, bad idea. You do need to have the conversation. But when you have that conversation with this person at work, and you say, listen, this really, you know, what happened here was wrong, and it really hurt me. Sometimes they're going to look at you and say, hey, I don't care. And biblically, we go back to Romans chapter 12, where we say, okay, it's not between me and you. And we act in love towards that person. There's peace with that person. We overcome evil with good in that situation. Why? Because God's going to take care of it. Now, if the conversation is taking place with someone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ and they say, hey, listen, I don't care, then for us, the process of forgiveness continues. And so as you look at Jesus teaching his followers in Matthew chapter 18, he continues. And he says, listen, if they don't confess, he says, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, I think there's actually two reasons that God gives us this next step. The first is so that you can kind of have a check system in this conversation. Because the truth is, you may go back and say, hey, listen, you go back and you ask two people to come into this conversation with you, and you sit down and you're talking to this person, and you say, listen, I know you said that it was no big deal, but you said this about my cat, and it is sin. And the two or three witnesses are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I think sometimes these two or three witnesses are there so that they can set us straight. Be like, dude, you're making, this is not a sin. And they don't have anything that they need to apologize for here. You're wrong. The second reason is so that as you're having this conversation, what you say can be confirmed. So as you step into this person's life and say, listen, I know you said it's no big deal, but it is a big deal. And this is what God's word says about it. That those witnesses can come alongside of you and say to that person, listen, he's right. This is what God's word says about this, and this is going to destroy you. Because what's the point of this? It's to bring this person back. It's to restore. So we're moving into one another's lives and trying to restore. And so for Jesus, it's not that, hey, you have one conversation and they say, I don't care, you just move on. He says, no, you go back. And then if you go back with two or three and they still don't care, he says, if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Again, because we could be wrong. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Now, sometimes you hear him say that and you're like, oh my goodness, what is he talking about, a pagan or a corrupt tax collector? Does that mean that we look down on this person? No. You just treat him as if you would the same exact way that you would someone who's not a follower of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, in that situation, we live under Romans 12, where we say, okay, you've said that this is no big deal, but it is. But between me and you, there's nothing there. I'm just going to trust God that he's going to take care of it. And unfortunately, the process of forgiveness is not complete. And the interesting thing about this biblically is that the Bible talks about this first process of release. Sometimes you hear forgiveness as being this point at which we release things. Because in Mark, Jesus says, listen, if you're in a place of worship and you're about to worship and you know that someone has done something to hurt you, then you need to forgive them. Well, he's obviously not saying that you walk through this whole process right there in that situation. But what he's saying is you release it, you give this to God, and he uses the same word there as he does when he gets to this passage in Matthew 18, where he's talking about forgiveness as walking through this whole conversation with someone. And I understand as we talk about this, and I understand that as you look at this, that this can be really overwhelming. And I understand how difficult it is to have these conversations. And you look at this, and you look at what God's leading us into, and you're like, man, that is crazy. But the truth is, guys, what we've been doing, it doesn't work. The truth is, this idea that we've had, that forgiveness is just changing the way that we feel, this idea that, man, you know what, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that, I don't need to go talk to that person, I'm just going to kind of get over it, and it's going to be okay, I'm just going to push it down, I'm just going to bury it, it doesn't work. And we live our lives slaves to things that happened a long time ago, and there's no peace, and we can't trust the people around us. And every partnership you're a part of is impacted by the way you were treated by that partner back there. Every relationship you're a part of is impacted by the relationship that you had 10 years ago. Why? Because we don't understand how to forgive. And because we don't believe God when he says, listen, this is the way to life. A couple of weeks ago, John said something about this idea of confession, and he said the truth is that we fear confession more than we fear concealment, and so we're more afraid to tell someone about what's going on in our lives than we are about living with that secret sin for the rest of our lives. And I think the same principle is true here. For a lot of us in our lives, we fear conflict more than we fear concealment. And we're so afraid of having that tough conversation that we are going to live with that for the rest of our lives. We're so afraid of having that initial tough conversation that the rest of our lives are going to be changed and impacted by what happened. Ten years ago. The truth is, that conversation is going to be hard. The truth is, that conversation is going to be difficult. But it's not going to be anything compared to living the rest of your life with this kind of baggage. And so in your life, your heavenly Father is stepping in and saying, let me lead you to something better. Let me lead you to real peace, not manufactured peace, not this fake peace because I just don't think about it very much, not this fake peace because, man, I just don't go there in my life anymore, but real peace. And at the end of this conversation, the relationship may not be restored. At the end of this conversation, they may not care, but you will have peace because you've done what your father's asked you to do. And he's going to take care of it from here. That's what he wants for you. And one of the questions that came up out of the dinner groups this past week is, man, well, I mean, aren't there some times and situations where there's just relationships that you need to walk away from? Yes, we were talking about this in our dinner group, and we were talking about the fact that, listen, if I lend you money and you decide that you're not going to pay me back, and I decide that, okay, well, we're just going to settle the debt, it's okay, I forgive you, it doesn't mean that I'm going to continue to lend you money. And there are going to be some situations in which you're going to step in, you're going to walk through this process, and at the end of it, it's going to be, all right, everything's settled, everything's taken care of, but at the same time, there's going to be a process by which the trust is rebuilt. There's going to be a process and a time period over which the trust is rebuilt. Understand this. I had a conversation with someone on Friday about this. Trust is not something that's given. Trust is something that's built as you see character demonstrated over time. And so there are going to be sometimes where you're going to get to the end of this and the relationship's going to be restored, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be at the point of intimacy that you were before. And there are still feelings that you're working through and healing that you're working through with God. But what God wants to bring you to is to the point where you have peace. The question is, will you trust Him? Will we trust Him? Or will we keep doing it our way? We already know our way doesn't work. He wants to lead you to something better. Will you trust Him? Father, as we walk through this, I understand that this is extremely difficult. I understand that for some people here, even thinking about this brings up incredible amounts of pain. And I pray that for every single person here, I pray that as they walk through this, they would feel your arms wrapped around them. They would know that they are never alone in this. But Father, I pray that you would continue to push us to truly follow you. That you would continue to push us towards the life for which we were created. And I pray that we would become a church that is unified. Because we understand and we practice forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.